This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's currently the 28th of August 2009 here in Japan, and I'm joined on the line by a member of the Prison Planet Forum community who posts by the name Anti-Illuminati. He has been painstakingly researching and documenting the global information control grid and cyber false flag terror. So, Anti-Illuminati, thank you for joining me on the program today.
Thank you, James. It's great to be here.
Well, I know you've done a lot of information that connects with a lot of the things that we've talked about on the Corbett Report in the past, including, of course, PTEC, which my listeners will probably know by now is one of the key pieces of the 9/11 puzzle. And, of course, PTEC was a computer software firm specializing in enterprise architecture software that was set up in 1994 by Usama Ziad and mystery investor Yasin al-Qadi, who recently there was a break in that case with the Boston FBI indicting Usama Ziad for lying to the FBI about their investigation into PTEC and Yasin al-Qadi's links to PTEC. So for more information about that, I certainly suggest that my listeners listen to my recent interview with James Evan Pilato at MediaMonarchy.com or check out some of my articles. But you've been researching into this for years now, and you have uncovered a wealth of information about PTEC and where it really came from. So what can you tell us about the global information control grid and cyber false flag terror?
Well, I think a good way to go to start off with this is to kind of go over some solid details about what PTEC actually is in terms of the company makeup and the people behind it. There's virtually hundreds of articles about this on the internet, and some of them have more, you know, quality information than others. And I happen to have right in front of me a kind of one of the best descriptions of the people who run the company and a little bit on their background that most people are unaware of. And I'll just go ahead and kind of read this here. Regarding the executives that run PTEC, so that you'll have a better understanding of this. As far as the CEO, Mr. Usama Ziadi, his background was that he's the chairman. He was the chairman and CEO of PTEC. He established it in 1994. He has over 15 years of professional experience. He's the chief architect and driving force behind the company. One of the key attributes was his ability to sense market direction and play early on into potential markets while still in their infancy. He's a proponent of competition, customer partnering, and value-oriented solutions. His philosophy of management is based on the balanced involvement of customers, management of employees in the operation of the company to create value for all stakeholders while creating a culture of innovation and focus. He's raised over $20 million in private investment for PTEC prior to launching PTEC. And I'm going to pause right there. This is the key to this because what a lot of people don't know about this that are looking into it is that the PTEC software existed in name before the company even existed. Okay, the executives that created PTEC were formerly comprised another company prior to that that traces back as early as to 1989, and that company is called ADT. Now, that's not to be confused with the, you know, home alarm system company. This is a company that stands for Associative Design Technology, okay? And with that being said, I'll continue with this, as that's where it goes into talking about the bio of the CEO. Mr. Ziadi was the CEO at Associative Design Technology and previously held a series of progressively responsible management positions in software development. Mr. Ziadi holds a Bachelor of Science degree in physics and participated in the PhD program in high energy physics at Harvard University. In addition, he holds a Master of Science in Software Engineering from Boston University. Mr. Ziadi has appeared on several TV shows and is a published author in industry-leading publications, appearing on the cover of several magazines. Now, another key guy, which I'll just go into next, is the Chief Product Officer, Mr. James Serrato. And what it talks about with respect to him is that he serves as the CPO of Adaptive Incorporated. Mr. Serrato was responsible for the full product lifecycle of all of Adaptive's products, from defining product strategy to gathering market requirements, creating product specifications, and controlling product release schedules. He applies a holistic product approach and ensures that all adaptive product components include software, documentation, training material, and collateral are consistent, integrated, and synchronized with the release schedule. He serves as the Chief Product Officer of PTech Incorporated and has been with PTech since its inception in 1994 as co-founder. I'll skip some of this here. It's just kind of basic info. Mr. Serrato was guided the successful development and release of a suite of products, including enterprise architecture modeling tools and web portals. And as part of the core team, he helped guide this company from startup to recognition by Deloitte and Touche as one of the 50 fastest growing technology companies in New England. Now, what it talks about next is very important, okay? There's a link made here to a company that is very, like, behind the scenes in all of this stuff that's going on. He served in role as representative to the Object Management Group, okay, which is OMG, and participated in the OMG Object Analysis and Design Task Force that developed the Unified Modeling Language, or UML. In addition to involvement with OMG, he speaks frequently at conferences. Mr. Serrato worked with Associative Design Technology, where he held a series of progressively responsible roles, culminating in his position as chief technologist. He's been a speaker at major conferences and has been active in several standards organizations. Mr. Serrato's bachelor in computer science degree from Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And of course, you have the chief scientist, another one of the founders, Dr. Hussein Ibrahim. Very, very important individual for many reasons, other than the already public information that's well disseminated from Indira Singh, with her 9/11 Citizens Commission testimony, along with Cynthia McKinney and former LAPD narcotics officer Michael Ruper, talks about him here, where he was with PTech since its inception in 94. Dr. Ibrahim has more than 20 years of experience in enterprise architecture and business consulting. He oversees the innovation and creation of new domain-specific add-on solutions. In this capacity, he acts as lead consultant, advising customers in the modeling of technology and human capabilities aspects of an integrated e-business architecture. Dr. Ibrahim taught computer science at Columbia University, where he also led a research team in a computer vision research project funded by the United States Department of Defense. That's a key right there. So the DOD already knows everything about this guy. See, that's something you're not going to hear anywhere else. Dr. Ibrahim completed his undergraduate work in computer engineering at Ain Shams University and received his master's and doctorate degrees in computer science from Columbia University. Dr. Ibrahim has had many articles on computer science published in leading professional magazines. And I'll stop there with the bios. Basically, I just want to mention, in terms of myself with respect to, who am I in relation to this. My name is Mark, okay? I'm anti-Illuminati, one of the moderators of the Prison Planet Forum. I'm just your average Joe citizen, you know. I don't have any industry connections or any respective background that gives me any, that is contributing to anything that I know here. All this is that I was, after I began to see things that, see the things that Indira Singh brought out when I saw her testimony years ago, it really, really woke me up more than anything else that I've ever seen, already knowing that 9/11 was an inside job, but not quite understanding, with any detail, how they could have really pulled this off. And then just seeing the continual erosion and, evisceration of the Constitution and our liberties. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. This has to be fleshed out. This needs to be investigated. And, that was the thing that led me down to the myriad of rabbit holes that showed me just how absolutely sinister and huge, this media blacked out topic is. I mean, this is something, you know, PTech has never been mentioned on TV virtually. I mean, maybe it was like, I think maybe it was back in 2002 or something on like some local news stations. There's, you know, which are accompanied by local news articles that you have to use like the web archives to even access anymore. But largely it's something that nobody knows about. And it's the biggest thing that it's, you know, it's been said that it makes Watergate look like nothing, basically. I mean, this is the huge thing, and it is the, in one respect, it's the foundation of being able to carry on forward with world government. World government has myriads of facets, and, you know, from the New World Order's perspective, in terms of what they need to achieve to try to, you know, eliminate the sovereignty of every nation and consolidate everything. One of the keys for them to do that is the technology aspect of it. They have to have everything integrated so that they have full control over everything, so that nobody can challenge their power, no one can challenge their authority, and that they can administer their tyrannical virtual government, their communist model, long distance. So and remove all representation of free human beings from having any say in their what would have been their formally elected representatives and so forth. And that's a big component to this, and that's where a lot of my research goes into and what I'll talk about today.
Well, I think you and I are in total agreement that PTEC is absolutely central to any kind of understanding of 9/11, and PTEC branches out into a lot of other topics, and that sort of shows the way on cyber false flag terror and how that can be implemented. But for those listeners who are maybe tuning in for the first time, can you just go over sort of what is enterprise architecture software and how was it used to implement a false flag terror attack?
Okay. Enterprise architecture is... Basically, the way you look at it is, to make an analogy, if you're going to have a new home built, okay, you can have a custom home built for you, okay. If you're going to do that, you obviously hire an architect to design your home. It's the same kind of concept with enterprise architecture. It's the architecture that would be applicable to the physical world brought into the digital world to engineer the blueprinting for business process modeling for a large organization on how everything is going to take place, and how streamlining everything and all of your operations, your systems, the people that you have to do business with, communicate with, so forth, and including security and everything else. Now, one interesting point is, the idea of enterprise architecture in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's just that it's just like technology. Technology is not evil innately. It's what people are doing with it and what they, how they're using it and what they're putting into it to use for nefarious means. There's actually a very lot of people are well aware of this individual, Catherine Austin Fitz, who has her own website, Solari.com, I believe, where she was she worked for the U.S. government. She was I can't remember exact position, but she was involved with the financial fraud investigation. And Michael Rupert, Michael Rupert makes mention of her as she was her mentor or instructor, basically, on everything that he knew about the Promise software. And the thing about Catherine Austin Fitz is she was actually, when she was working for the U.S. government, she was working on a non-backdoor to non-corrupt type of enterprise architecture to deal the kind of like similar to, I mean, in the, kind of akin to what Indira Singh is talking about, but not using PTEC, not using that kind of stuff, okay? Just like she was actually creating this herself. She was creating the software by herself. And she wanted to use this to reconcile all of the financial discontinuities and discrepancies within the U.S. government so that you know, the numbers would line up and there wasn't all these shenanigans going on. And the government saw that Catherine Austin Fitz was doing this and that she was actually, hey, you're actually trying to foster real accountability, within the government. You can't do that. You're getting, you're fired. Get out of here. Who the hell do you think you are? We're criminals, man. We run things. You don't come in here and bring honor and integrity. What are you doing? You can't do that. There's an actual article on this. This is on the forums too. And by the way, one I'll mention is when we're done here, I'm going to put up a post for all of you listening to the show. I'm going to put up a post with links that will back up every single topic that I'm going to bring up. So that way, and it'll be pinned, so you can browse it at your leisure. And go ahead and look at the information.
Okay, and just for the listeners' benefit, I will put a link to that post in the documentation section of this interview. So when you click on the interviews tab on CorbettReport.com, find this interview and press documentation, and you'll find a link to that post that Anti-Illuminati is talking about.
Now, in terms of the false flag aspect of enterprise architecture, yeah, keep in mind, too, that... when you think enterprise architecture, think in terms of blueprinting, because that's what it is, and that's what Indira Singh is. She herself has used that term, and that's what she was working on. Specifically, was the, in her own words, the next generation and risk blueprint, and that's what basically that has every painstaking detail of all of the systems within a business, including that includes the. The electronics, the network infrastructure, and everything like that. Okay, and the idea that this ties into, the partner to this is risk management, and you see this all the time. I mean, all of the, big New World Order corporations. You'll find them talking about stuff like this. If you do a search for risk management by itself, you'll probably find tens of thousands of hits on it, maybe more than that. But the idea is supposedly that because, let's say for example, you're incorporating an artificial intelligence based architecture to protect a network from cyber attack. Okay, sounds good, right? Sounds like, okay, this software can scan incoming network traffic. It's like a highly advanced firewall, and it will if there's different threats that are unprecedented, or there's different types of hacker attacks or something, the idea is that this can adapt to those attacks in real time and learn new things that it previously, that were previously unknown to it, and then harden itself to be able to deal with that in the future so that it's immune to such attacks. Well, the problem with risk management is that not only can it protect you, but it can be specifically reversed to amplify risks. It can be used for the exact opposite of that. It can be used to create risks where none existed before. And it can also be used to make existing risks within an enterprise, a business, some kind, security risk, whatever. It can make them invisible. It can just say that, oh, there's nothing wrong here, when there is something wrong. You have a multifaceted type of way this can be implemented. And the idea that, this ties into 9/11, because ostensibly the idea behind the interoperability that PTEC was touted as going to provide for the FAA and the Federal Aviation Administration's NAS, okay, which is the National Airspace System, which the documents that talk about that, you know, where this whole thing was engineered before 9/11, the documents from like 1999 from MITRE Corporation, there's two different ones from MITRE and one from the FAA.gov website that you can still download these. I mean, when you read the contents of them, I mean, they can be used in a court of law to, like, get people indicted for treason, if you know what they're talking about. So anyways, those documents talk about the engineering, the actual use of PTEC to supposedly reconcile all of these former interoperability problems, and that everything was going to be great, and you know, everything was just going to be made so much more efficient and so forth. Well, the reality of it is that it's kind of weird, because it did create interoperability, but the New World Order, or the criminals that carried this out, when they talk about interoperability, they're not talking about that for your benefit. They're not talking about it for the benefit of the people. That's for them. That's so they have interoperability, so they can, in other words, they have control. All of their people, all their criminals are on the same page. They all have exclusive access to the system to exploit it however they want to. Okay? And strip the supervisory administrative controls from people who would not otherwise be criminals, who would actually be doing their job to defend the United States against an internal threat of hijacked airliners or, you know, aircraft that are remotely been seized by this software through their advanced automatic flight systems like ILS and so forth. So they strip the command and control away, and the interoperability is in the hands of the New World Order, and everyone else is left with a chaotic scene of basically shock and awe. Is what that actually was even back then. It was just total overload. And what they actually did, that leads into another thing, which I'll get into later, called the OODA loop, which if you want to really understand 9/11, you need to learn what the OODA loop is. And that's an abbreviation for Observe, Orient, Decide, Act. It's a military term that was developed. It was coined by Colonel John Boyd, who was a fighter pilot like 50 years ago, who had a exemplary, dogfighting record of kills. He had 84 planes that he shot down using his OODA loop, which basically, in a nutshell, it is a methodology of outthinking your opponent. Okay, it is being able to preempt their actions and act upon where they're going to be before they have, you know, so that when you're in the position to attack your enemy, they're not even prepared to begin to react to your attack, because they don't even know that you're going to be there. And that's the methodology that was used on 9/11 against our own Department of Defense systems. Okay, that's how they did that. They overloaded the response decision, the command and control, the legitimate command and control that could have otherwise stopped the black op from being executed. And that was sets the whole precedent for the entire fraudulent war on terror and all of this, what's literally terror engineering is what you end up with, is what you have. Or like what Indira Singh, in her own words, talks about, as you know, where she says, the terror economy is alive and well. And so that's their new, you know, that's like the in one respect, it's a replacement for the Cold War. It's the new permanent enemy, so that the New World Order can have unlimited money for, you know, for no-bid contracts and to fight illegal wars and to basically further enslave everyone and steal all the money and everything, so that they can eventually be unchallengeable. So yeah, I mean, the false flags. I mean, it gets really. That whole thing is a very huge subject in terms of like where you can go with that, but it's the idea is that you have painstaking details of everything wherever you have that software, and allowing you to attack whatever points that you want to, and also you can set it up to blame whoever you want. And the thing of it is that this is used in conjunction with the backdoor capability of this stuff. The backdooring into an enterprise architecture that's, you know, based off of PTEC or the like, or like a promise-based program. I mean, it doesn't, that PTEC is just a name. If you want to use a term that kind of like is more encompassing, that could basically attribute for whatever it could be called, because there's a lot of different companies that make the same exact thing. There's another company if you do some research, you will find that the current iteration of the actual company PTEC in the United States is a company called IntelliGile. And they actually have a website that you can see, you can actually go to it and you can tell that that's what it is. It's just, I believe it's in IntelliGile.com. It's very interesting that there are no names of anyone on the website as far as who runs the company. And, there's no street address and there's no phone number. So you can only email them if you want to consult them about their software services. Yeah, that's kind of interesting, you know. So anyway.
Well, it absolutely
what I was
is.
Say is that it, go ahead.
I was just going to say that it certainly seems that the picture you're painting is that all of the roads lead back to the DOD, and most of them lead through these types of defense contractors and intelligence fronts. And you've done a good job, I think, of identifying a lot of the individuals that are connecting these dots. So can you go through some of the people and the companies that you've highlighted in your work?
Sure. I'll do that. The one brief thing I wanted to mention was... what PTEC represents, it falls under a title of what you can call of what they call agile software methodology. Okay, there are several buzzwords that the New World Order uses in their own, you know, in their own documentation pertaining to all of this stuff, and one of those words is agility. Okay, and that just from their point of view, what that means is that speaks to their predictive analysis, the idea of, it's kind of like how they want to be, you know, how like you see articles now where they have cameras that can scan you, and they're trying to make it so they can, scan your facial expressions and predict what you're going to do, like this idea of pre-crime. That's where all of that stuff comes into play. It's the idea of being able to, it's like being able to preempt what your enemy is going to do, and that the enemy is the American people and everyone else, basically, that's not part of their cabal. So anyways, just wanted to mention that. The companies involved with the software and that are involved with 9/11, and you can do your own research on this, and you will be, your eyes will be greatly opened when you see the connections here, because a lot of these names are not talked about. There's web blogs, obviously, but I mean, you don't hear about this stuff. You have SAIC, or SAIC, which is Science Applications International Corporation. That's a major defense contractor, police state company that is, I mean, you know, involved in the police state technology infrastructure. They're the ones. SAIC, for example, is one. They're one of the companies that is behind the gamma radiation scanners that they're going to want everyone to drive through. That they can X-ray your vehicle to see if you have any terror materials on you, if you're carrying bombs or something. Yeah, and and then they claim, oh, don't worry, the radiation is safe. It's, you know, don't worry about it. Right. When it's been reported to be worse than an X-ray itself, so that you get cancer and so forth. I mean, this is the kind of stuff they're involved in. You have a very obscure company that you don't hear about very much, as EDS, Electronic Data Systems, very principal player in terms of the overall continuity of government agenda and martial law prep, you know, engineering, very technical, on the technical end of things. They worked with Object Management Group, which, as you heard earlier, I mentioned that James Serrato had dealings with them. Incidentally, the significance behind Object Management Group is that they came up with something that was called P4I. Okay, what that is it's policy procedures and pilot program implementations. That's a framework for world government that was used for the underpinnings of the organizational structure of the legal unconstitutional military command called Northern Command. Northern Command is based on the things that Object Management Group created. Object Management Group created the idea of something called coalition interoperability, which was the beginning of the global war game martial law takeover drills that have been going on for the last 9 or 10 years. It started actually maybe before, I think maybe in 2000. Previously it was called JWIT, or Joint Warrior Interoperability Demonstration. And that's a key thing, because that's how, using all of this enterprise architecture, these are global drills with foreign military, okay, to where they're making sure that all of their military hardware can interoperate with each other so that they can successfully take over the entire planet by force, by basically a global military force that is, so that they have the ability to do that. Whereas if you didn't have, interoperability, you wouldn't have the ability to command a multinational, or these multinational enclaves, as Northern Command calls them in their own documents, and where they depict, there's actual documents that they have where they show them like attacking the United States, claiming, but they're saying in the context that they're just doing war games. And a lot of the things that are on the maps are hauntingly, reminiscent of a lot of the stuff that you're seeing happen, like a missing Russian ship and stuff like that. So that's very damning right there, because it just shows what all this technology that that PTEC is all about is part of being used for. Other companies that are of note, you have Booz Allen Hamilton, which was mentioned before. A lot of people are beginning to find out about them. The vice president during 9/11 was, I believe, Dove Zakheim. Dove Zakheim. He was also the Pentagon comptroller, where like $2.6 trillion went missing on his watch. And he's a dual citizen, Israeli. And he's a very interesting individual, to say the least. Booz Allen Hamilton, incidentally, is a subcontractor for the National Reconnaissance Office. Okay, and Mike McConnell had a role with him too. I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head what it was, if he was one of their head guys or something. But there's just so much info on this. Booz Allen Hamilton has like 10,000 employees that have top secret security clearances. So that's just one of those companies that's a revolving door back and forth to the Department of Defense. And they admit that they're involved in, for example, terror threat profiling, you know, creating threat assessments on the American people. You know, it's just another one of the major black op police state intelligence consulting agencies. The other big one is MITRE Corporation, who is, is documented proof that they were involved in creating the backdoored national airspace system architecture. The president during 9/11 was Dr. Rodney James Schlesinger, who is affiliated with the Council on Foreign Relations. A very instrumental player. To mention another individual, actually, is very significant. John J. Homrey, who's the president of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Very major player. 3 days after 9/11, John J. Homrey wrote, in his own words, he said that he hopes that the in the aftermath of the rubble from 9/11, that a phoenix will rise from the ashes. An extremely blatant, in-your-face, New World Order reference of the Hegelian dialectic of basically praising the 9/11 attacks and saying how great it was because he was one of the architects, I mean, as the president of the CSIS. The CSIS, incidentally, is one of the chief... they're one of the chief forces behind the so-called cybersecurity, okay? They are an extension of the Council on Foreign Relations. They're just another leg of them, or, you know, it's part of the New World Order. As you already know, some of the roundtable members, not only Zbigniew Brzezinski sits on the chair of that, but so does Henry Kissinger, and so does Obama's National Security Advisor, James L. Jones. And they're also involved heavily with the securing cyberspace for the 44th presidency, the document that was drafted up in conjunction with, if you look into Sibelle Edmonds, look into her testimony, you're going to find that some of the people that she talks about are the same that were directly involved in 9/11 with actual, like, real evidence, like real proof, right? They're actually involved in cybersecurity. I mean, they're actually going to be, quote unquote, in charge of, you know, protecting the networks for United States. And one of those people is Mark Grossman. Okay, where do you see his name in reference to cybersecurity? Well, if you look at there's a consortium, okay, that consists of like all the big defense contractors, Raytheon, Thales, Lockheed Martin, and Homeland Security, and Boeing, and BAE Systems, and on and on and on. There's a consortium that's called the NCOIC. Okay, these guys are a huge player. They're the guys who are taking over the internet. Okay, they're one of the groups that are taking over the internet for continuity of government. That they're poised to do their part in their future false flag that they're going to execute. And I argue, based on my research, and I mean this isn't even really my opinion. If you read their admissions, in just the context of what they're talking about, it seems to be that they're going to carry out, when they do this, their next cyber false flag, it will be in conjunction with their bioweapon attack with the flu. And that's a whole other thing that's probably another show in and of itself. But the NCOIC, the thing that's very interesting and why they warrant being, you know, why they should be looked into by anyone who doesn't know who they are, is that as far as their direct relevance to PTEC, okay, that the head technical chair council member of the NCOIC is the exact same guy that is one of the people that Indira Singh handed a letter to warning about PTEC, one of the chief information officers that she warned about PTEC when she was doing her investigation. This is like, I think, 2002. Okay? And that guy's name is John Osterholz. All right? And he blatantly ignored Indira Singh because he knew what the hell was going on. He knew he didn't do anything because, of course, we carried out the attack. I'm not going to do anything about PTEC, but he didn't say that, obviously. But that's why he didn't do anything. And if you just look at what he says, there's an article. In fact, I'll read it in a little bit. I have to pull it up. It's not that it's pretty short, but it's very, very, very revealing. And he's the guy that's, the head of that, saying that calling for the elimination of the Internet Protocol version 4 and to be supplanted with IPv6. And when IPv6 is actually in place, it's over. The free Internet is totally over with, because you will never have access to anything that you currently have access to. They will be able to filter things out to an unimaginable level of censorship. And, they can implement all their biometric authentication through that as well, like Joe Lieberman wants, right? Where they can, through using IPv6, they can say, well, guess what? The only way you can get on the Internet now is you have to submit a thumb scan or a retinal scan. And then they'll know exactly who you are, and if you say anything, they'll just come and kill you or whatever they want to do. Because it's one of the huge agendas that they have, because once that occurs, then no one can expose their crimes anymore. See, this is the thing about the Internet that's so significant. They're freaking out. You have Jay Rockefeller freaking out because these people are getting so exposed to such an unprecedented level that they didn't even realize. I think, and a lot of people probably agree with me on this, the New World Order probably didn't expect just people around the world to have figured out their game, okay? We understand their psyops. We understand, actually, we have all their documents about psyops and how they're trying to manipulate us, and then we can ignore that and defeat that because we know the tools that they use. We know all of their tools and all their little deceptive little things that they use. So they can't, they're no longer effective, and it's forcing them to have to go back to the drawing board. And one thing that's real important I want to mention is that Booz Allen Hamilton, there was a conference where Michael Chertoff, the former DHS secretary, along with a guy named Andy Singer, okay, who's a principal at Booz Allen Hamilton, when you read between the lines, when you read what they're talking about, this is in reference to a global war game drill that they ran, modeling a global pandemic outbreak of avian flu. This was in 2006, with a cyber attack, okay, in conjunction with that. And what Andy Singer said was that we need to make sure that, he didn't say it like this, but I'm just going to basically tell you, you can read it for yourself and be the judge of it. What he basically said is we need to make sure that our next false flags are highly believable. We need to make sure that they appear to be so natural and to have circumstances that, that are a backdrop for these things that are going to happen, that we're going to cause, that they just seem so, that they just follow a series of events that just seem like they'll get everybody to just believe that, hey, there's actual hackers that did this. It's the economy is, with what's going on with the manufactured economic crisis, that is going, it's already being used But that's going to be driven into the minds of people into believing, to making them believe that there's these desperate people that are going to engage in cybercrime, okay, specifically cybercrime, to try to mitigate their own circumstances in the financial crisis, and they will, and they may use that to say that, well, there's homegrown terrorists that are retaliating against the government, against the Federal Reserve, or against, you know, for passing, you know, for stealing all this, all these tens of trillions of dollars, and now we have to shut the internet down because, you know, or like the, there's a number of ways they could play that. But you see where I'm going with that? If people educate themselves on what they're doing with all this stuff, nobody will buy their bull. Okay. The most important thing, from my point of view, the purpose of all the research I've done, okay, which I read documents. I don't go just to websites and say, oh, I copy and paste an article and I post it here because I want to make it seem like I know what I'm talking about. No. I read 100-page documents. I read stuff that nobody wants to read because it's boring, because I know that that's where the real information is. Okay? Because, see, they don't expect you to do that. Okay? Because that's why you don't find a lot of the stuff that I have on the forums, on websites, because that's exactly the point. It was never on a website. It was in a document buried somewhere. And my goal is very simple, to completely discredit every possible avenue that the global crime syndicate can use to be able to get away with carrying out anything resembling 9/11 ever again, so that it will give the people, it'll give free humanity the incentive and the understanding and the foundational strength, you know, understanding and wherewithal to not be deceived by anything that they could possibly do. Because if they don't have your mind, if they don't have the mind of the slaves from their point of view, there is no way in hell that they can beat, that they can defeat free humanity. It is impossible. The New World Order, as powerful as they may appear to be, they still require my compliance, and they require your compliance, and they require your neighbor's compliance for their system to be implemented. If you say no, they cannot succeed. But the key is you have to have most people that understand what's going on and stop fighting with each other and realize that they are, in fact, the real enemy, and you know, to a degree that you totally see that, so that you'll have the strength to resist all of their crap, that you'll be able to say no to retinal scans. What am I talking about? That's an example. To say no to the national/world ID card, you'd mass protest it. You've got people going to the Department of Motor Vehicles to get their license renewed, and they say, hey, you need facial recognition for that. Could you imagine if 70,000 people said in a city said, guess what? I don't think so. You are not facially scanning me into an enterprise architecture database where you can use that digital data that basically is just like a fingerprint, but it's of your face, and use that to exploit, or, you know, use that for identity theft purposes if I don't play along with your game, if I'm not a good enough globalist, you know, to set me up for crimes that I haven't committed because you, like in the movie The Net from 1995 with Sandra Bullock, we planted your digital biometric data somewhere, and now you have 50 felonies and you never committed a crime, but guess what? The computer says you did, so you're doing life in prison. That's the consequences. That's an example of what can happen and what they can do with all of this stuff. That's why you have to say no to it. That's what the reason to learn about this is, because they want to make this affect your life, and I mean in a bad, bad, bad way. Okay, there's a video that I compiled. It's not footage that I took. It is video primarily. It is one of the most significant things that anyone can ever look at. It will give you a incredible foundational understanding of what is at stake and what the New World Order actually intends. and is doing, and what they intend to do even further. And what this video is titled as, it is called PTEC Built Supply Chain Infrastructure Destruction of Free Market. And this was posted last month on Vimeo.com. And I can give you the exact address. And this is it's 52 minutes long. Okay. But it is the most powerful thing that I've ever seen in terms of exposing the technological end of what they're doing and putting it, not dumbing it down at all, but yet putting it in layman's terms enough so that it that virtually anybody who watches this will basically get a total understanding, you know, to enough of a degree that they'll know what's going on. So if you want to comment on anything, go ahead. I need to, you know, catch my breath here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I certainly agree that education is absolutely one of the keys to defeating the system by discrediting it, so that whatever they try, and they have many, many tricks up their sleeves, but whatever they try will fail because they've been so thoroughly discredited. And I agree that education is absolutely the cornerstone of that, and that's why we are in the info war. But basically, it sounds like maybe we should be implementing an OODA loop against the New World Order in the info war. But I guess I'm just trying to come to terms with what I certainly see how this process is moving and how they're developing their technology. But I guess I want to see, what is the end game, and what would the world look like if they were able to implement all the systems that they're attempting to at the moment?
Well, there's that old saying that a picture is worth a thousand words. And if you want a quick, you know, a quick answer to that, all you have to do is go to Google and go to the, you know, click on images and in quotes type in network-centric warfare, okay, and do a search. And when you look at those pictures, that is your answer right there. That, and what I mean is to accompany that, you will see a total war zone, okay? You will see the world, the planet Earth, transformed into a state of persistent, total destruction, murder, genocide, and war, and for just exacting tyranny against everyone who does not willfully submit and say, okay, please put me in a re-education camp. Basically, what it comes down to is, you know, anyone who doesn't go to the re-education camps is going to die. And that's what they want to do. We don't have to, you know, that's up to us to whether that's going to happen. I mean, it's, you know, they're Homeland Security, I hate to even use that term, but because it's completely inaccurate. But anyways, there's all kinds of articles where they're flying unmanned aerial vehicles at the U.S.-Canadian border, and they're using them on the, and you know, at the southern border as well. And they're ramping all this stuff up. They just ran a big terror drill up in the Great Lakes. There was an internal memo from Northern Command that leaked out that they didn't want, and they were very upset about it. That talked about a terror threat, you know, like, I don't remember if they said it was Al-Qaeda or whoever it was. They said there was a terror threat, like, up in the, at the Canadian border. And what the world would look like is, you know, you'd have robotic aircraft flying all over the place that would be uplinked to the global information grid, feeding all of their imminent, or multi-int, to be more accurate. Multi-int is just means multiple intelligence, multiple sources of intelligence, with all of their, you know, their obsession over their, you know, their control freak technology, all the thermal imaging, the different types of optics that they have, and so forth. You know, and all their algorithm, and they could face scan you from 60,000 feet up in the air with their blimps that they have, and their UAV predators and their global hawks flying around. You know, it's kind of like, if you haven't seen this, there's another thing too I'll mention. There's a video, it's an old video, it's from 2005 from DARPA. It's called DARPA IXO. A lot of people know about it. If you don't know about it, you can view this at VO. If you go to VO.com, it's just a video upload site, and just type in DARPA. I have uploaded the video there, and you can watch it there. And that's a, you know, that's a video showing all of their network-centric warfare, which just means the human has effectively been removed from the cockpit of any aircraft and from ground vehicles. Everything is basically autonomous. Everything is governed from a computer command and control center. That's the future. That's the New World Order's future for America and for the world, is to have everything run out of command and control militarized hubs, okay? And the former, you know, whatever was all of the formerly, you know, civilian sector of society will no longer exist and will be replaced by a militarized, largely autonomous supply chain infrastructure, to where, you know, they'll have they'll largely, you know, and I say largely because, you know, they're not gonna, they phase people out, the necessity of having people be in the workforce in various areas. They phase that stuff out slowly. It's not necessarily immediate where, hey, suddenly robots are doing everything, you know. But they'll phase that in so that, you know, there'll just be, they will have everything, like all the organic food, right? They'll have all that stuff to themselves. You know, they'll live off of the fruits of the earth, from their own protected stuff, you know, like kind of like their seed vault, stuff like that. While the slaves will just be given all the stuff that's, you know, poisoned, and, you know, be, you know, if they weren't already murdered, they'll be dying from any disease that you could think of, from Codex Alimentarius being in effect, and to where nutrients are no longer allowed and poisons are the new nutrients and so forth. But that's I'm getting off on track here a little bit. It's just having a total, it's almost like, I mean, I hate to use something that's not, you know, that's fictional, but it's really quite accurate in terms of conceptually it is. The, you know, something like the Terminator, the hunter-killer cybernetic drones that fly around and they just kill anything in sight. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. You know, I mean, they're obviously not, you know, how they look is irrelevant. It's just, that's what they're doing. And I actually broke that story about on the forums, and I had a guy that was in Air Force intelligence for over 5 years contacted me and wrote up an article regarding the info that I brought up about that, and he submitted it to, I believe, InfoWars or Prison Planet, and it actually got posted. It got posted with the document that I linked to. So it's pretty long, but it's from the Air Force Research Laboratory, and it talks about how, you know, they admit that, you know, it's like, yeah, we're eliminating we're eliminating pilots. You know, the real reason why we're getting rid of the F-22 program is because we can kill more people with Predator drones and with a lot less money. And they don't completely, you know, there's nobody that says no. You know, I mean, there's no accountability. See, one thing I want to point out too is when you have all of this stuff is based on, okay, all the military hardware, okay, is PTEC was used to build an architecture for the Department of Defense. This was done before 9/11, and it was only enhanced, it was only made more powerful and more capable in the years following. And they created something called DODAF, which just means Department of Defense Architecture Framework. It is the framework that PTEC built for interoperability, to have all their systems integrated. All of their disparate, what would otherwise have been disparate, non-compatible communications and weapon systems and so forth, everything is now able to be commanded under, you know, you can command an entire army from a computer in a command center, basically. Well, not quite, but, you know, they're talking, like, for example, like with UAVs, they have swarm technology where one person sitting at a computer can fly four, you know, just for example, can fly like four Predator drones simultaneously and have them attack targets at will and have them all synchronized and know how to, you know, avoid colliding each other and being able to selectively pick out whatever targets that they need to pick out and attack whatever. And they can, you know, using PTEC, they can, the bottom line with it, well, there's, you know, in one respect is they can make sure that only the criminals, the real hardcore, you know, if there's anyone that would even remotely not want to engage in genocide, they can easily remove you from the chain of command. It's like I did a show called Piercing the Darkness back in April with an actual cybersecurity expert who worked for Motorola and Sun Microsystems, okay? And in his words, he said that the New World Order doesn't even want four-star generals to be in charge of anything anymore. They're just going to be like, kind of like just there on the sidelines, so to speak. Well, the software makes the battle command strategy execution decisions. And basically, the general takes a back seat to the artificial intelligence. Now, of course, the New World Order is always in whatever aspect that they see fit or that they feel they need to be in control, they will always be in control. It's not like there's no point in going off into a discussion of like Skynet in terms of where this stuff is totally sentient and totally like it doesn't need any human interaction. It's really irrelevant, even if someone wants to talk about that, because the people who are in charge of it are totally evil, psychopathic, murdering pieces of trash that would be just as evil as if the stuff was operated on its own, like in Hollywood films to begin with. So that whole argument is a moot point anyways. You see what I mean? Because I've seen people try to say that to like, you know, de-emphasize or to downplay it or something. So there is a specific thing that I want to get into while I can, if I have the time, pertaining to PTEC is very significant. It's a big part of 9/11 that nobody really has talked about. Okay, and I don't know if you want to interject, if you want to comment on anything or ask me anything before I do that. It's a very interesting thing that I'm going to bring up.
I'm just excited to hear what you have to say.
Sure, cool. Okay. I'm going to say this. One of the things I'm going to mention here could be construed as an actual bombshell information. I'm just being serious. Okay, because nobody knows this. Okay, and I mean virtually nobody knows this. Okay, there's a very significant thing here, and any of you who are listening, and by the way, you know, and it's theoretically possible that Indira Singh may even listen to this show. I hope she does. And if you're listening, Indira, you know, God bless you for your sacrifice and your selfless contribution and fearlessness and really getting to the bottom of these eugenicists who have carried out this attack and destroyed our, you know, who are continuing to destroy whatever's left of our republic. I commend you and I cannot thank you enough for what you've done. And I sincerely mean that. Okay. Here's the key. Okay, all right. Anybody who's going to research this, this is going to open up everything in a very big way. The chief scientist of PTEC, in his own words, he made a reference to a guy that is very, very, very significant. Okay? Dr. Hussein Ibrahim mentioned that PTEC was worked on at a specific place, that it was engineered, to be for use in C2 process modeling, which all that means is command and control. That's the New World Order's abbreviation for it. The thing that he talked about was this. He specifically said that PTEC was worked on at a place called System Architectures Laboratory at George Mason University. Why is that significant? Because the head director of the System Architectures Laboratory is a guy by the name of Alexander H. Levis. He is the other scientist that engineered PTEC. Indira Singh probably doesn't even know who Alexander Levis is. And, you know, now she does, you know, if she ever hears this. And if she looks into it, I'm sure she will find that everything I'm going to say is accurate. Why is he significant? Well, if you type in System Architectures Laboratory in a search engine, you can go to the website and you will see a huge list of documents, PDF files going back to 1995. And these documents detail the engineering work involving artificial intelligence and all of the intricacies and extremely advanced mathematics that I don't even know what kind of math it is. I had someone told me that they brought this to a graduate or postgraduate student and some, you know, their friend that was a genius math major. And when he was shown these documents, you know, this is just what he said to me. So he actually got scared and he said, I don't think you're supposed to be looking at this. Where the hell did you get this stuff from? Okay. The documents that are there talk about, it shows the modeling of war, it shows war gaming scenarios. They're drawn out like these depicted in red and blue teams fighting each other. Okay. Kind of like Waco, a situation where the FBI or federalized law enforcement would be fighting the American people, those type of situations like that, to where they model using all this advanced mathematics and artificial intelligence. They've modeled for over since 1995 at least as early as we know, martial law takeover scenarios in the digital realm, so that they can apply what they learn in the digital realm to real world to be able to effectively take over entire civilizations, to take over cities, to actually succeed in a FEMA roundup of people, to make sure everybody goes to the death camps, also incorporating all of the data mining. Because you know they know everything about each individual and who poses what threats and who needs and incorporating that so that they can formulate a more effective strategy in a martial law takeover. The documents talk about that they actually premeditatively engineered both Iraq wars 6 to 8 years before the wars occurred. I mean, tell me that isn't criminal.
That's incredible. What is the name of the document?
Well, they're PDF files. They have like they're not named per se in the terms of a name that. The PDFs themselves are just like alphanumeric numbers, but there's a description on them. And I would have to go and look at the site to actually read them off to you.
But they are available from the SAL website.
Yes, they are. And a lot of them, I've actually posted them on the forum as well. I image extracted them and posted them up. But there's probably 50 of them there. I'm not even sure how many there are off the top of my head. There's a lot. But the ones about the Iraq wars are there. I'm not sure what the exact name of those ones are, but they're there.
And this ties directly back into the birth of PTEC.
Yeah. None of those documents make mention of PTEC, the ones at the System Architectures Lab, specifically. I don't know why they don't mention it, but you can tell that that's what they're talking about. They do have other tools that they use that they do mention, such as CSER. It's a tool that Dr. Alexander Levis created. It's called CSER 2, and then CSER 3. And then they also use computational software called Temper and Pythia. Those are things that he uses. Now, I'm not a software engineer, so I don't know if those tools themselves were created with PTEC. It's possible that they were, particularly CSER itself. But here's the thing. There is a document by Alexander Levis himself from a different source where he makes mention of PTEC. His own document, he talks about PTEC. I mean, he just makes a reference to it in the context of the topic that he's talking about, which I think it's just C4I, which stands for computers, or command and control, computers, communications, and intelligence. That's what that abbreviation is. It's one of his C4I documents. That's on the forums. I could pull it up and read it. But it just proves that Alexander Levis is well aware of what PTEC was, because, I mean, not just that, but he was using it. But it's not even just from his admission. It's the fact that, you know, Dr. Ibrahim said that that's where it was being worked on. And if Ibrahim doesn't specifically mention Dr. Levis, but he mentioned the, you know, SAL. And if he's talking about that, he's obviously talking about him, because that guy is the head of the thing. He's the head of it. So obviously he's involved with that. And I actually have a video of Alexander Levis too that I found. I will put that in a link so that you can watch it. To view it, it's real media. I mean, I don't like Real Media Player, but you can watch it through like Media Player Classic with I think you might have to use like a real alternative plugin or something. And Dr. Levis was also Not only is he a professor at George Mason University, he was also the chief scientist for the U.S. Air Force up until, I believe, 2004. So that tells you something right there. I mean, the document where he mentions PTEC has the Air Force logo on it.
So once again, it ties right back into the DOD and all of the various organizations associated with that.
Yeah, one real important thing I want to mention that anybody can do, if to see what the real deal is here, is if you go to the web archives, webarchive.org, and if you type in PTEC's website, PTECinc.com, and you use the Wayback Machine, because obviously the site no longer is there, right? But if you use the Wayback Machine, you'll produce several results going back as far as 2002. Now, there's off the top of my head, there's like 5 or 6 different links, okay? There, each of the links that are an archive, you know, with the respective year, have different. They may allow you to browse through their contents more so than others. They're not all the same. You know, I don't know if you ever noticed that, where you might put in a website and some, you know, one of the archives has like has more link, more subdirectories that actually work and don't result in an error message that, oh, it's no longer here. When you go through PTEC or one of those links, it will take you directly to Department of Defense PDFs, okay, that just show that the Department of Defense was using the software to facilitate the transformation of the military forces into a cohesive force. It's migrated from, you know, Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, Coast Guard into the joint staff. Everything is joint, joint, joint. That's what everything is. And that was all made possible by, you know, by this software. So, but the point I'm trying to make on that note is, how damning is it to see direct DOD links, you know, like which normally, you know, would be, those are internal links from PTEC to the Department of Defense PDF files talking about their setup of enterprise architecture for the military. There you go, right there. I mean,
absolutely, like, it leads directly back to the Pentagon's door, and I guess
the key thing that ties into this too, and I want your listeners to know this, that Indira Singh actually has many interviews that she's done. There's 4 or 5 different interviews that she's done with various people. And I can consolidate all of that to where they can all be downloadable. She did an interview with Bonnie Faulkner of Guns and Butter. She did an interview with a guy who was a special forces colonel during Vietnam. She did a show with the guy with, you know, that was in special forces, who was concurring with a lot of stuff Indira was saying about black ops and about the terror connections that she was bringing up. That's a really interesting interview, because I mean, that guy, you know, this particular colonel they're talking about, you know, he witnessed acts of, like, you know, total Geneva Convention violations and high treason in, you know, during Vietnam, and how they wanted, you know, this guy was, you know, they wanted him to carry out black ops and everything, and he said, no, I don't think so, I'm not a traitor to my country. So it's just interesting to see that someone in special forces is in the company of Indira Singh in an interview. That's kind of telling, you know what I mean? It just shows that she's, you know, you don't just run into, you know, have something like that set up if you're not for real, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, then a really important interview, probably her most important interview that, in my opinion, is the one that she did with Michael Corbin, okay? Michael Corbin had a Patriot radio show that he did, and he's dead. I'm not sure what it was, like within a year or several months, maybe half a year after he had Indira Singh on his show. He was going to bring up some, he was going to go into some really, really, really hardcore stuff. And at 50 years of age, he just drops dead of a heart attack. And that was the end of it. You know, so nobody knows. I mean, you know, the New World Order is, if you look into, if you look into their history of people that just die, there's a lot of people that just miraculously end up with heart attacks. You know what I mean? And it's like,
The number of people who either just suddenly drop dead or are suicided is obviously suspicious, and that even ties back to, of course, Danny Casolaro and the Octopus and BCCI, which relates also to Promise and Inslaw, which ties back to PTEC.
Right.
So it's all one big structure in which there are so many people trying to expose and dig at the roots of what's going on, but one by one they either fall or are discredited in some way. So it's up to all of us out there who are listening to this and who have access to this information to start getting the word out. And they can take us out one by one, but they can't take out a mass of people. And as you say, if 70,000 people in one city stopped and refused to get biometrically scanned for the new IDs that's going in, then they can't implement that system. So, Anti-Illuminati, we've covered an incredible amount of information in this hour, and I think we might be reaching information overload for us mere mortals. But is there any final point that you'd like to make to sort of leave the listeners with?
Sure. The final point, I could definitely continue this and go on to actually what some real, really hardcore info I wanted to get into. I apparently don't have time for right now. One of the main motives for carrying out 9/11 was to be able to, to push forward with the implementation of the global information grid, to be able to, to where they can enforce the consolidation and be able to vertically and horizontally integrate all aspects of governance, government into their continuity of government, which just one of the important tenets of that is that in the way that government is now, there's physical locations where you can approach your representatives. You can go to city council meetings. The New World Order wants to get rid of all of that stuff and manage, and enforce their laws, their global laws, like the Georgia Guidestone stuff and all their United Nations stuff. They don't. You're not allowed to have any consultation. There's no questioning. So you don't need buildings anymore. You don't. And that ties in with all the carbon footprint stuff too. It's like they're demonizing the very fact that you have a home or that there's all these buildings. There's all this carbon footprint stuff. We need to get rid of this. And the thing, they're moving to this model, which has been planned many years ago, of being able to manage, to manage dictatorial governance and to make it so that they can never be brought... they can never be held accountable for what for what they're doing, that they'll be unreachable and that their systems will not be able to be overthrown after they've overthrown our systems. And the way that they want to do that, one of the ways that they've been talking about is with the flu pandemic thing, with the cyber false flag threat that they're talking about, and you're seeing these small little attacks that they're engaging in, which are all, Promise can do all this stuff very easily. They already have, the idea is that all of the critical system, they want to shut down, in their own words, they want to shut down, quote unquote, all non-critical systems, whatever they consider non-critical in terms of running and in terms of existing in the United States, they'll shut down, and they're going to implement teleworking, all this long-distance learning, like e-learning, teleworking, e-governance, and that ties into the flu, because they can use that to say that we now, our critical infrastructure cannot be manned. We can't, for example, we can't have people working at the Pentagon because there's all this bioweapon stuff everywhere. Well, they won't say that. They'll just say that there's all this, everything's contaminated. And, our government's breaking down. We've been decapitated, as, to in light of like something like NSPD-51, like the terminology they use. And the only way that we can save the United States is we have to implement a secure internet to manage this crisis, so that we'll have secure systems. They can say that because during the flu pandemic that there's all these cyber attack stuff happening that's exacerbating, this is the key, that could be exacerbating the problem of the flu, interfering with emergency response. They could say, oh, there's hackers that are, they're attacking police stations, networks, or attacking InfraGuard or any type of first responders, and the people that are actually in the government will actually believe this crap and think that the American people are really the enemy, that the American people in because they'll think that they're retaliating against the financial catastrophe that's happening and so forth, against the government, they'll actually perceive that we're really the enemy when the New World Order is actually carrying out all this stuff for the express purpose of being able to finally destroy the internet as we know it and replace it with their internet so that we can't talk to each other. See, we're not supposed to be talking to each other right now. And from their point of view, we're supposed to shut up. We're not shutting up. I don't think so. Okay. That's their mentality. It doesn't matter how intimidating they get or how many, like, they can't see. You know what hurts the New World Order? And this has to be, this awareness of what I'm going to mention real quick has to be applied to everything else. When George Bush was president, they got the American people afraid because they showed you horrific, unprecedented crimes of people getting their heads cut off by Al-Qaeda. You don't give up your rights, you're going to see more people with their heads sawed off with knives. We don't play that game anymore. We know that was Kroll Associates and Khaki. Okay? We know who carried out that stuff. So your little torture ops, little death squads that you operate that have been, that you used even way before 9/11, we're not afraid of that anymore. So you can show all the dead bodies you want to because we know that you carried it out, that you're the criminals, that you're the murderers, and it's not some ambiguous external threat. And the last thing I'll mention, you want to look into the heart of the New World Order to see how they operate and how they think. Go and research a guy by the name of Thomas Barnett. That's B-A-R-N-E-T-T. Look into that guy, and there's a video that he has. He created a book called The Pentagon's New Map. It talks about something called the Leviathan Force and the Sysadmin Force, which is it's all part of continuity of government. He's a hardcore New World Order, pawn, but he's just a mid-level or low-level guy that is pushing their agenda and is for total tyranny and fascism. When you look into their key people like that expose that when I say key, I mean that in the context of that the contents of what they talk about, they're openly admitting and they're revealing to you the real even though it's unclassified and so forth, they're showing you a window into the real operations of the New World Order that they really don't want you to figure out. They don't really want you to know that. You see, I mean, it's not like they don't think anybody would ever figure it out, but they want you to be like in your former interview that the other guy that interviewed you, where you were talking about everybody talks about controlled demolition. No. We look at everybody. You look at the big picture, and everything becomes so much more into focus. And it gives you, the more you know, the more incentive and the more conviction you'll have to know that you know the truth. And I would like to see a mass class action lawsuit, and especially in light of Stabell Edmonds' revelations recently against the people who we have prosecutable evidence to bring people into court. I mean, as hard as that would be to do, it's the real criminals who carried out 9/11, the real criminals who carried out 7/7/5, and so forth. They're not being prosecuted. They need to be. They need to be held accountable. You know, but keep in mind, looking at George Mason University. I'm going to put, like I said, everything I just talked about, I'm going to put links to it in a thread. And look into Alexander Levis. Look at the stuff that I posted on the Prison Planet forum about him with all the documentation. And you will find that he is one of the key guys, and that even Indira Singh herself, in her interview with Michael Corbin, said that Yasin El-Khadi himself was a front man. They selected him because, in her own words, he would be able to handle the cover up to other people in the government. I'm not exactly sure how she worded it. She'd be able to manage he basically served as good perception management to keep your eyes off of, like, say, Dick Cheney and other people and so forth, you know, and just flat out the Department of Defense. All those people like him are there to obfuscate and kind of, I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't, you know, I'm not saying anything that was said about him previously isn't true. It's just that you need to see through these people. You need to look through them and see who are the players here, who engineered this stuff, you know, what are all the details that go around, you know, that surround everything. And then you get to where you really find out what this is all about. And one last thing, I promise you I'm done. One of the most important things that you have to keep in mind, okay, regarding PTEC, is that the man who advised Indira Singh on using PTEC for her risk blueprint for JP Morgan was none other than the father of enterprise architecture. The guy who told her about it, who recommended it to her, and there was other people, but the main guy was John Zachman, okay? And John Zachman, in his own words, said the following statement, and this is so damning, it's ridiculous. You could subpoena him and bring him into court with this. He said, quote, "You would, in reference to PTEC's capabilities, you would know where the access points are, you would know how to get in, you would know where the weaknesses are, and you would know how to destroy it." That came from the father of enterprise architecture. So that destroys, that statement crushes the lies of former Homeland Security head Tom Ridge, okay, where he said that the software is safe. Hey, John Zachman is one of the New World Order's key guys. He's one of their own people, and he even admitted that it's backdoors all this stuff and can be used to destroy any system that it's implemented on. That's like, if you want to think of it, that's like Lord Rothschild saying PTEC can do this. That's how significant that statement is, okay? That's what people need to realize.
Absolutely, and I agree people need to take a step back and look at the bigger picture and not be so focused on some of the tiny details when the picture itself is just so vast, and understanding even pieces of it is quite mind-boggling, but definitely worth the effort. Well, Anti-Illuminati, right. As I say, we've covered an incredible amount of information today, so I'm looking forward to seeing that post, and of course, as I say, I'll link that up on the documentation list for this interview. So it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I certainly hope to see more of your great work on the Prison Planet Forum in the future.
All right, James, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.